It is currently 8:46, 14 till 9. I love talking to smart people. I really do, because I always learn something. And one of those joins us now who happens to be a representative. That's what not what makes him smart. No disrespect. What makes him smart is he's a physicist. How you doing, Joe Ogeron?
I'm doing fine, Tommy. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for taking the time. Do you think if you devoted every second of your life for the next 20 years, you could teach me physics?
Absolutely. I think we could. You don't think so?
That's a fool's errand. Believe me, you'd never make any headway at all. Let's talk about what's going on with the men. And I just like to bring that up because you are a scientist and you know what you're talking about. And I think it's great when people that are educated, and we need lawyers in the legislature, we need, you know, doctors, and we need other things. We also need scientists in the legislature to keep an eye on what's going on and do things for the right reasons. Tell me what's going on with the menhaden industry and a new study that's out. Well, first of all, Joe, take a step back. Yeah. A lot of people don't know what menhaden is or what the menhaden industry is, so maybe you can start there for context.
All right. Well, menhaden is a small one of the most important fish in the Gulf because even though it's nothing that's edible by humans, it's a small, bony and oily fish. It still can be caught in massive numbers and provide lots of protein, and most of your omega-3 oil that goes into your fish oil pills actually comes from menhaden. And
how big are these things, Joe?
They're only about 5 or 6 inches long.
You would never eat this on a plate or anything like that, right?
Never.
They always process them. Okay.
Always process. And it's a very important. It's the U.S.'s second largest fishery, and here in the Gulf, it's one of Louisiana's largest fisheries. The amount of weight of menhaden, or also the common name is pogies, mm-hmm. the amount of weight that they catch in a year. There's primarily two companies that do this, and the amount of weight basically equals everything else Louisiana catches. Every oyster meat, every shrimp, crawfish, turtle, crab meat, redfish, snapper. You add everything else up that comes out of Louisiana's waters, and you put it side by side with the amount of menhaden that they catch, or pogies, and they're about equal. So that's how much we catch.
And I want to get that out there because I know a guy that's a maritime attorney, and up until 10 years ago, I had no idea what a menhaden was. And since then, I've been blown away with how important they are and what a big part of the catch in the Gulf they are. But they can also be controversial, and also they are different regulations, I think, for the way they fish in the Gulf with different states, right? Take me through that.
Well, Louisiana probably has the most lax regulations. I mean, they're probably thinking that they're overregulated, but the point is that they fish in Louisiana because they can't fish in Florida. They have a quota limit, and it's almost in Texas that's probably not enough for them to spend the money going over there and fishing unless the menhaden move there and they go for a short time just to fill up that small quota that Texas allows, and everywhere else. Even the only other place where it's done is on the East Coast is Chesapeake Bay area in Virginia, mm-hmm. and there they have large, you know, more stringent restrictions. Louisiana is kind of like I'm going to call it the last Wild West for industrial reduction menhaden, and let me parse those words. Industrial is that they use basically large OSV, the same kind of boats that we use in the oil and gas industry to move equipment to the oil rigs. Usually those vessels, whenever they're done with their service, they're bought up by these menhaden companies and converted so that all the tanks that used to bring out water or drilling muds and stuff are now storage tanks for the menhaden and pumping systems and netting systems and things like that. So
let me take a quick break right here, Joe, because I think we reached a good stopping point. I got to get traffic in. Okay. Then when we come back, we can talk about, because they do cast a wide net, not metaphorically, but literally. They catch a lot of stuff in it, and we'll talk about redfish and other species and what kind of effect they have on it when we come back. Representative Joe Ogeron, our guest, our friend, he's a physicist. More when we return. Traffic now, WWL. 56 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Representative Joe Ogeron, a physicist, a scientist. We've already established what the menhaden or pogie industry is. They do have these big boats that cast wide nets. They get a lot. They get a lot of stuff in there that they, besides Pogie or Menhaden. Joe, what does the study show about the bycatch, the things that get caught in there that become entangled, that get killed and wasted, and what happens from here?
Okay, well, one of the biggest surprises was that a lot of the user conflict were from recreational fishermen that fish alongside right off the beach where they sometimes where these industrial Menhaden fisheries like to fish where the fish are, of course, and they use spotter planes to find them and basically cast the net around there. And these the user conflict with the recreational fishermen is whenever they're done, there's usually dead redfish floating out on the water. Mm-hmm. And the biggest surprise was that they were thinking that as they encircle the Menhaden and whatever else is making the Menhaden school, let's say in this case, redfish, jack crevalles, sharks, whatever else it is, they all get encased in this netting. And they're as they squeeze the net to a small area and suck out the Menhaden, what's left in the net is one of the three types of bycatch. That's called the rollover bycatch, whatever's left. And they was believed that that was where the redfish were dying, but this report shows that the vast majority of those in the net or that are remain in the net after they suck out the vast majority of the Menhaden survive. The other side of that coin is there are some redfish and other species that get sucked up in the holes with the Menhaden, generally the smaller sized redfish and other species. And those that pass through the, let's call it the pumping process of getting brought on board, and even though once it's on board, there's like a bars, grade bars that the Menhaden and very small bycatch fish fall through, but the larger fish, like the redfish and sharks, they get sucked up in the holes. Those, unfortunately, the other side of the coin is those have a horrible survival rate. Like only 5% of them.
So, Joe,
the vast majority of them die.
Before we run out of time, as a scientist, what do you do with this data? What do you do next?
All right, so the main thing I wanted to know from this data was, how close to the beach.
Joe?
That's been always the user conflict. Is
Joe, there's no way we're going to get this in before the news. It's important, though. I want to ask you to hang on, okay, and I'll wrap this up after the news, then we'll talk about dogs. Can you hang on a minute?
Sure.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was running as late as we were, but I think it is important. So we'll talk about where we go from here with Menhaden, then we'll talk about what puppies think with a guy that runs a college at Duke University about puppies. I quickly back to Joe Ogeron, state representative, physicist, and then, Joe, you might want to listen to this. I don't know if you have a dog or not, but we're going to talk to Vanessa Woods, director of the puppy kindergarten at Duke University, about what our dogs are thinking. Do you have a dog or not?
I do not, but I have two grand pups. So, I'm waiting to convert those to grandchildren. But good.
You'd be surprised with this latest to be able to teach you because I read the book and it's amazing. Let's get back to Menhaden real quick. So as a physicist, you got this information. And what do you do? I know the whole idea was to keep them farther away from the shore, right? Is that going to happen or what happens from here?
I think from the distance from the shore, we're pretty much at a status quo. 3 years ago, I had put in a bill to keep them a half mile off. It failed, but then they had subsequent issues where they put dead pogies all over the beach and redfish, and the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission actually subsequently started enforcing that same half mile buffer with a little bit larger distances in places like Grand Isle and Port Fouchon. I think distance to the shore, we're at a status quo right now. What the bycatch study really showed was that the ones that get sucked into the hose, even though it has a cage to allow the Menhaden in and try to stop the larger species of bycatch, they're going to adjust the geometry. I got word from both of the companies that do this, that they're going to immediately start working on a better geometry to be able to allow them to suck up the Menhaden and leave more of the bycatch, redfish, and other things in the net where their survivability is good. So that's the immediate actions.
Outstanding. Thank you, Joe. You can come back whenever you want and keep listening about these puppies. I'm serious.